Blog Talk Radio.
I got so many theories and suspicions. I'm diagnosed with real nigga condition. Today is the day I follow my intuition. Keep the family close, get money for bitches. I double park the Austin in the red. My mama told me that I'ma work myself to death. My girl told me don't let these hoes get in my head. My world been ecstatic, I checked the signals that read. Buzzing, radar is buzzing. Yeah, yeah. Fox News wanna use my name for percentage. My latest news is my niece, she worth living. See me on the TV and scream, that's Uncle Kendrick. Yeah, that's the business. Somebody tell Gerardo this nigga got some ambition. I'm not a politician, I'm not about a religion. I'm an Israelite, don't call me black no more. That word is only a color.
Paseo, Alito, this is El Ross Smith Bay. I am your host, and you are tuned in tonight to another episode of Reclaiming Your Indigenous Heritage, part 4 of a 12-part series, okay, Eating Habits of the Indigenous American. Got a late, just like I always say, I'm always on time. There is only the now. I'd like to thank the Aunt Esther's, as always, for allowing me to use this platform to give out this information to my people and to the world. Now, with that being said, I got a couple articles lined up that I would like to read from. Okay. And this is going to deal specifically with the eating habits, like what did we eat as indigenous people, all our clans, and throughout all of the land, right? What type of diet did ours consist of, right? So these are the questions that I am going to ask. Time frame. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And y'all gonna like this show. Got a lot of info and some new information. Well, not new, just some information y'all may not have heard. So it'll be new to you. You know what I'm saying? But just bear with me for one moment. One moment. All right, I am back. So let's get into it. I got the articles lined up. Okay. And this indigenous tribe that we're speaking of specifically, we'll deal with the Choctaw, or more accurately, the Choctaw people, okay, which is a group of Muscogee Indians, that is our name, or also known as the Choctiuma, or the Chato, okay? For those of you who are not familiar with the Choctaw indigenous names. And this article is written by Rita Laws, and it's titled Native Americans and Vegetarianism, okay? I Among the Choctaw Indians of Mississippi and Oklahoma, vegetables are the traditional diet mainstay. A French manuscript of the 18th century describes the Choctaws' vegetarian leanings in shelters and food. The homes were constructed not of skin, but of wood, mud, bark, and cane. The principal food eaten daily from earthen pots was a vegetarian soup containing corn, pumpkin, and beans. The bread was made from corn and acorn. Other common favorites were roasted corn and corn porridge. Okay, the rich lands of the Choctaws in present-day Mississippi were so greatly coveted by 19th century Americans that most of the tribe was forcibly removed into what is now Oklahoma, right? And George Catlin, the famous 19th century Indian historian, you know, George Catlin is, he's so great because he's an artist as well, and he took paintings of the indigenous people all throughout the 1840s, all throughout the 19th century. So you can look back at George Catlin paintings, and you can see the depiction that he made, which is pretty highly accurate because they didn't have cameras back then. So what did they do? The next best thing, painting, okay? The dark skin, indigenous people of America, is very apparent in his painting. Now, to continue on, you know, dealing with the Choctaw lands of southern Oklahoma, this is what he said in 1840, all right, George Catlin. He said the ground was almost literally covered with vines, producing the greatest profusion of delicious grapes and hanging in such endless clusters. Our progress was oftentimes completely arrested by hundreds of acres of small plum trees. Every bush that was in sight was so loaded with the weight that they were in many instances literally without leaves on their branches and quite bent to the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but he's talking about hundreds of acres of fruit, just abundance, which was found in America. This is like America is the promised land, the land of milk and honey. All right, I'm going to continue on. He says, and beds of wild currants and gooseberries and edible prickly pears were found. Okay? And this is not just one dude. There's many documentation of explorers just marveling at the richness of America's resources, natural resources specifically. Okay? And the quick list of the indigenous foods that we have contributed to the world and that is now a staple to many nations is the red pepper, the peanut, the cashew, sweet potatoes, avocados, passion fruit, zucchini, green beans, kidney beans, maple syrup, lima beans, cranberries, pecans, okra, chocolate, vanilla, sunflower seeds, pumpkin, cassava, or yuca, pineapple, berries, and of course, corn and popcorn. This is just a small list of our contribution to the world that made, basically made what the world is today. Okay? All these foods are indigenous to America. Okay? I remember reading somewhere that this statistics show that America produces 75% of the world's, provides 75% of the world's harvest comes from America. And I have also another article I want to read from titled, What Did American Indians Actually Eat? Okay, this is by Dr. Will Tuttle. He's an educator. Now, this is dealing with the Monacan Indians, okay? Monacan territory, for those who don't know, that's New York territory, right? And so he got curious. He wanted to know what was the diet of the indigenous people of America like. What type of foods did they consume? Okay. Well, he says the Monacan Indians were pretty typical of the people living here in North America before the Europeans came. Indian diets were overwhelmingly plant-based, as is the case of Monacans. According to this document, 98%, and that's 98% of indigenous American tribes had a plant-based diet, okay? And like I said, if you're not familiar with the Monacan territory, that's like New York area, okay? Well, this is why I like to have multiple sources so I can give y'all, you know, some diversity. It's not just like one source where you're getting your information from, so you can kind of just take bits of each one and put it together and formulate an idea or conclusion, okay? And if it resonates with you, then you keep it. If it doesn't, you throw it away. Now I'm reading from another article I have titled 365 Days to Indigenous Healing. And in this article, it states the three leading causes of death for American Indians are now, check this out, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. I'm going to read that again. The three leading causes of death for American Indians, according to this article, is heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. Now, what type of people does that sound like that may be leaning toward? Your so-called African-American people, right? Now, isn't that interesting? Interesting statistics.
I have a question.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Isn't it true that just by changing your diet and your lifestyle that you can actually cure diabetes? I saw a study where a so-called African-American man was diagnosed with diabetes and cancer, and he eliminated, like, meat and processed foods from his diet. And when he went back to the doctor, there were no more traces of those illnesses inside of him.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. You can definitely eliminate going on a plant-based diet and by detoxifying your body. Like, I even have a book, just like the guy you were telling me about in a book, this guy, well, he actually cancer just by going on a plant-based raw diet. Okay, he said it took about 90 days and he had literally patients that were lined up that actually witnessed the so-called miracle plant-based raw diet. It'll actually change their life because you're going back to nature.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are live foods, and we're like electric beings, so those foods help to protect our cells and rejuvenate them, correct?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for answering my question.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Let's see, let's call in. Now's the time. If you have any questions or comments, I see someone already called in. I'm going to pull them in. And now it's the call in, because if you don't, it's about a minute left, and you won't be able to call in once that minute is over. Well, as I see, I just missed a caller that called in. I apologize. But hopefully, you know, I'll catch you tomorrow, same time, 10 p.m., Central Time Zone. Again, absolve me. I saw you in the caller. I just missed you. But feel free to call in tomorrow. With that being said, that concludes another episode of Reclaiming Your Indigenous Heritage. I want to end the show by saying these words. This is coming from and he says, "The Great Spirit is in all things. He is in the air we breathe. The Great Spirit is our Father, but the earth is our mother. She nourishes us. That which we put into the ground, she returns to us." Okay? With that being said, your identity is your most valuable possession. Because without it, you are no one. Wanishi.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of a radio station, WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't send me no other place. I don't know nothing. Talk about my home. Just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming pretty good. Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.